Our next guest in studio is Caroline Flynn from Ballysadare in County Sligo, living in Manor Hamilton. And I should have asked you this, Caroline. Can I mention your age or give an indication of your age or not?
You can, of course.
Yeah. Okay, just to give us some context. So yeah. Caroline's in her mid-40s and has recently been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she has spoken publicly about her breast cancer journey because she has become an ambassador for the 100K in 30 Days campaign, which is taking place this month, raising money once again for Breast Cancer Ireland. So thanks for joining us, Caroline.
Good morning.
And I know you have a very busy morning, and I'll come to that in a moment. So tell us your story and how you were diagnosed and how you first found out, which is all very recent, as I say, isn't it?
It's all very recent. If we go back to in or around September of last year, so at the back end of last year, 2021, I was going about normal life, working, just taking on a master's course in my nursing career, and was just getting on with normal life like anybody else, you know. And I suppose we were coming out of COVID and things are kind of coming back to normal and starting to feel a bit of normality again. And I would check my breast regularly anyway, and I noticed a lump on the right side. And I thought, well, I better get that checked out, because I wouldn't normally get or feel any lumps around the right breast area. Usually with my left breast, I did, definitely. And I would have been at the clinic in previous years, and everything was usually okay. And it was usually just cysts and benign and nothing to be worried about. But I always used to get it checked out. So I was pretty good at checking anyway. This felt a little bit bigger and a little bit different. And I still thought it was a cyst, and I thought it was nothing to worry about. So off I went to the GP, said, I get this checked out. Went to the GP, made my appointment. They thought it was probably nothing. They routinely referred me anyway to the symptomatic clinic in Galway, and that was fine. And because of my history, they put it down as urgent, just in case there might be something. But they told me, kind of reassured me, it might have been just an infection or something. So that was September. And then because of COVID, and there was a lot of delays with getting an appointment, usually it's a 2-week turnaround for the symptomatic clinic if you're on the urgent list. So mine was a 2-month turnaround, so I had to wait till the November to get seen. So I went down, had my triple assessment. So when you get to the symptomatic clinic, you meet a lovely team down there, and the usual, you get a mammogram, you get an ultrasound, and then a biopsy if needed. So it's called triple assessment is available. So I knew when they said they were doing a biopsy, and they were able to tell me from the ultrasound and mammogram that they had seen something there. It wasn't actually the cyst that I'd found. That was a cyst. That wasn't the cancer. The cancer was in a different region of the right breast, and it had also gone into my lymph nodes. So they'd done the biopsy, and we had to go back about 2 weeks later for the results. So I went back, got the results, and I was told that I had... I was given the diagnosis of breast cancer, which is quite a shock to get. And that the breast cancer, the particular type I had, they were able to tell from the biopsy, was hormone positive or hormone receptor positive cancer. So estrogen and progesterone positive, which is one type of breast cancer. As I'm learning, as I'm going along on this journey, there are different types of breast cancer.
So treatment had to begin pretty much immediately then, Caroline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of delay at my treatment for about a month, because you have to have, naturally enough, scans and tests done. And one of mine was the scan they do is a bone scan to make sure all your bones are okay, make sure the cancer hasn't spread to any other areas. And they noted an area in my spine on my T12, which is kind of the middle of the back. So I had to get that biopsied as well, so that they could not start treating me till they'd done that. Fortunately enough, that came back as negative. Commenced my chemotherapy on the 20th of December.
Just before Christmas?
Just before Christmas, yeah. I hadn't quite got the results before I started the chemo, but they went ahead with the chemo on the 20th anyway.
Yeah.
And then I got the results of the bone biopsy on the 23rd of December. So that was a good day, because it was negative, so it meant it hadn't spread to my bones.
And was that incredibly difficult when you went for chemo the first time? I mean, you've had, what, 7 cycles of chemo?
I had 7 cycles of chemo, yeah. So there's four of one type called AC. It is difficult. The side effects are the worst part of the chemotherapy. Yeah. And you're tired. You have loads of side effects. Nothing is normal. Everything is different. you're tired all the time, you can't function as you normally functioned. Most of the time I wasn't able to drive, to be honest. In the end, for the last few sessions, it was a different type of drug they were using.
Yeah.
And that wasn't as severe on the system. And then I was meant to have 8 sessions, but I had to stop. They wouldn't give me the eighth one because I had developed a peripheral neuropathy, which is kind of a numbness in the fingers and the toes. It's a side effect. So
yeah.
they didn't give the last one, and I had enough. Then you go back, they review everything. And I then was scheduled for surgery for June, which happened last Thursday. So it's a lumpectomy, and also where they remove all the nodes from under the arm, because mine was in more than 10 of the nodes.
So you've had surgery just 1 week ago now? You're
1 week ago, this day last week, actually. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, in Galway. So they remove all the area where the cancer was.
Yeah.
They call it a lumpectomy. And all the nodes under the arm were removed. So I'm recovering from that. So I'm a bit tired. But... Yeah.
Well, you don't sound or look tired, I have to say. And just to indicate just how this is an ongoing... You're on the way to Galway now, isn't that right, as a follow-up?
Yes, I'm returning to Galway today to have... So when you have the surgery, you have a little drain just to drain away any excess from the wound for about a week to 10 days. So mine is due to come out today. So I'm on the way back down to meet the nurse down there to have that removed today.
Right. And you were, as you were saying last September, going about your life, you work in mental health services as a nurse, and you were planning to get married as well, I think. Wasn't that right? And then
that's right. Joe, my partner, had proposed to me in lockdown, actually, in May 2020, was it? I think. I've forgotten with everything. And we were due to get married this October, but we have postponed that now, and we've pushed that out to May next year. So yeah, that's still something to look forward to. But yeah, it's a bit of a gunk. You worry about everything. You do worry about your relationships.
Yeah.
It changes everything. You worry about your family and friends. You worry financially. You're kind of removed from your network that you had through work, in a way, even though everybody's been really good and very supportive. And the thing that's kept me going is just being positive about it, knowing that there are good treatments out there. And
is it hard to stay positive, Caroline? I mean, you seem like a very positive person. And we'll come to the ambassador role in a moment, but I'm sure it's difficult at the same time to stay positive.
Yeah, I'm a positive person.
Yeah.
You know, I always have a positive outlook on life. I think I've always been like that. Kind of, Joe would say to me, I never stop. I'm always doing something, or I have to be busy. There have been moments. Naturally enough, when I got the diagnosis, that was a bit of a shock. There was a lot of tears. Trying to tell your loved ones that you've been given this diagnosis, that was difficult. I found that probably more difficult than looking after myself, maybe worrying about other people and how they would be, my parents particularly, my brother, my sister, people like that. It is hard to be upbeat all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm always happy and on top of the world. I'm not. I do think about it. I do fear for the future. But the goal right now is to try and get better, so I put all my energy into that and staying positive and doing things that make me feel good.
You're doing more than that, because you know, considering where you are in your journey, you're thinking of other people already. How on earth are you an ambassador for raising funds in this way? How did that come about, and why do you see it so important for you?
The importance for me was about the education and the research. So there's two parts to that. So education and awareness, and making people aware and educating them about breast cancer. As I said, I'm kind of learning as I'm going along about breast cancer as well, and the different types. And I wanted to make other people aware, and also the importance of checking and self-checking. And knowing the signs. Now, there are certain signs that you can look for, but my message, I suppose, is to people to look out if you're feeling unwell in any way. Because when I look back on my symptoms, I probably had symptoms that I didn't associate with breast cancer.
Yeah.
Not sleeping, feeling tired all the time. There was things there that when I look back, I feel that maybe I had put them down to because I was busy and I was studying and I was working full time, etc. But in hindsight, I think they maybe possibly were symptoms of the breast cancer that I wasn't aware of. Aches and pains, my feet used to be sore, different things that I just, yeah, in hindsight. So it's just about educating and making people aware, looking out for it, and not to be afraid to go. And I think for me particularly, and as women, and I've said this before, as women, I think sometimes we're guilty of saying, oh, it'll be fine, it'll be okay. Particularly in my case, I thought maybe I was perimenopausal. I was kind of at that age. I know there was a conversation yesterday, you interviewed a lady or a nurse around menopause, and it's great, yeah, to see that. And in my case, yeah, in hindsight, there probably was some symptoms there, and I kind of pushed them off as perimenopausal. Some of them may have been, but in hindsight, they probably, yeah, were the breast cancer, so I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah,
so I just want to make people aware to go to the, yeah, GP, not to push it off. Even if you think it sounds silly, the GP is never going to think you're silly or anything like that. And you should always, if you're concerned, to go, yeah, and get it checked out. And that's the important message. And the awareness for young people as well. Breast Cancer Ireland and the 100K, on their website, they, yeah, have great videos.
Tell us a little bit what it's all about. It raised a huge amount of money last year, and no doubt will do so this year as well. And you're all decked out in pink.
Yes.
Today, appropriately enough. So what is 100K in 30 days all about?
100K in 30 days is a charity that raises funds for Breast Cancer Ireland. And we've mentioned one part of that is around the education piece and making people aware around breast cancer and getting help. And the other part particularly is around the research in finding better treatments for breast cancer and ultimately finding a cure for breast cancer.
Yeah.
This is its third year. It's raised 3 million so far. There are clinical trials ongoing as a result of the funding from this. They fund research nurses across Ireland, which I think is hugely important for the patients as they're meeting the nurses in their cancer centres, and they can inquire about clinical trials, they can be told about clinical trials, and the clinical trials are hugely important to finding better treatments and cures for breast cancer.
Fair play to you for getting involved, even at this very early stage. It's a tribute to you and all you stand for, I think.
Yeah, I signed up. Literally, I seen it. It came across it on social media, 100K in 30 days, because it was breast cancer. Naturally enough, I thought, yeah, I'll do that. That'll be nice to do. It's because I wanted to give something back. I wanted to raise some funds. It was important to me. It's important to people around me. And I signed up. And I put up a link on my social media saying I'm doing this 30 days. I set a target of €200 and it just blew me away. The generosity and support from people.
Yeah.
With that, I was asked to be an ambassador, which I gladly accepted. Anything to get the message out there and promote awareness.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what drives me. Also, the walking is good from a physical point of view, naturally enough. It keeps you healthy, it keeps you fit. But I found also from a mental health point of view, from my own headspace,
yeah,
the walking gave me a huge lift.
It gave
me a drive, yeah. And I felt like it had just lifted me. I probably had been a little bit low for a couple of weeks before that. It just gave me a huge drive. It gave me purpose again. I felt like I was doing something good and giving something back.
For those who wish to register for such a worthy cause, they can do so on the website www.100kminthirtydays.ie. That's 100kminthirtydays.ie. And it's open to everybody, no matter, you don't have to be a skilled runner or expert runner. You can walk.
Wheel it. You can do it on the treadmill, wherever you want. You can walk up and down the stairs, whatever suits, and everybody can join. It's €25 to register. Anybody can join. My cousin also had been diagnosed with breast cancer a couple of months previous to me. So we have a league on there if anybody wants to join us, and we'd love to get, I suppose, an army of people together around Sligo and Leitrim. She's also a Sligo girl. And we've put a league in there called Carling and Colette's Pink Army. So if you do register, we'd love as many people, individuals, clubs, teams, any sort of community organisations, if they want to join, we'd love to see that, to raise funds for this very important charity. And it's called Carling and Colette's Pink Army. When you do join, you'll see it on there. So it's...
Yeah. And I'm sure lots of people will do that. The very best of luck to you, Caroline, with your own journey and with the fundraising and with the event. And we really appreciate you coming in today, because we know, as you've outlined, how busy you are off to Galway again. It's not easy, is it, going up and down to Galway all the time? But
yeah, it's a bit of a trek. Yeah, unfortunately, some of the services are in Sligo, but not all of them. But having said that, it's great. It's not too far away. And you need someone to drive you, obviously, but no, it's fine. It's good, and the services are there. They're improving all the time, and I'm grateful for them.